A lot of people have really beautiful stories about how they came to Islam, and I've always considered Islam a beautiful religion, even from afar, before I was a Muslim. Taking it back to 78, 77, when I was a baby, you know, all the Black Panther movements always have a Muslim in that thing, so Islam was cool, it was hip, it was beautiful, Black is beautiful, but Muslim was down back in the day. And even going back to when I was a Muslim, you know, there were guys who had a mindset that Allah was God, and you know, going back to the old 5% Nation of Islam, brothers used to come down, some of them were drug dealers, whatever, they used to come down 95, and you know, they'd be popping this, you know, Allah is this, but Allah to them was arm, leg, arm, head, you know, Black man's God, and hey, I was a Black man, so I had to roll with it back in the day. But I remember the first inclination that something was changing. I was shooting basketball one time against one of these brothers, and they had this chant, and it was just the most beautiful chant, and we weren't even Muslim. But it was, you can even hear it now, you can even look it up for your own purposes. They had a song called Allah and Justice, and it would be a tune you'd hum, but the words were like, peace to Allah and justice, and justice, peace to Allah and justice. And we used to hum that playing ball, you know, you shoot, it was like, phew, bam, peace to Allah. And I'm like, who's this Allah, man? You know, because I'm a churchgoer, man. I'm a swine-eating Christian. And that swine was good back in the day, I might add. But it was like, yo, man, who's this Allah y'all talking about, man? Arm, leg, arm, head, son. I'm talking about 360s. You don't know your cipher. You know, the first, you know, know your mathematics, you know, knowledge, you know, wisdom. I mean, I know them all. It was around that time that you start growing into a certain type of paranoia. Right around 14 to 17 was the drug game here in the DC area. And I have to say this because it was the predominant of crack back in the day. And crack inspired a lot of brothers physically, mentally, spiritually, just with the amount of money that you could make. And we had a good friend who, he was a kingpin. Some of the people on this video might even know it from D.C. This guy named Rafael Edmonds, who's the biggest drug dealer here in Washington, D.C. And I had connections with Rafael through family connections, of all things. My mom gave his mom her first civil service job here in the D.C. area. And I was watching Rafael and seeing all these things happen, and I had a good friend who was tied to Rafael, you know, kind of a mid-level guy. All of a sudden, man, he stopped hustling, he stopped doing the game, and you know, he talked from a guy that was making this money, the guy that just kind of walked away, and he was like, yo, I can't do this anymore, my spirit's not right. And we were like, what are you talking about? And we didn't know, you know, he had been studying Islam, and his soul had started to turn and converse and metastasize, and you know, that the fitna that he was involved in was moving away. You know, he moved away from us, and subsequently he was murdered. So we're sitting around his funeral trying to figure out what happened to his brother. Maybe that's why they killed him. His brother was talking about, you know, doing right by your parents, and you know, the drugs were poison, and respecting your woman, and you know, understanding that God has a plan for you. Not God, but Allah has a plan for you, because we heard God before. He said, but Allah has a plan for you, and you have to understand the son of the prophet. What prophet you talking about, man? This dude, are you smoking the crack? That's what we were thinking. And around this time, it's right around when I was supposed to go to school, and two things happened. One of his buddies said, don't be involved in the drug game, it's not for you. And I ran into a Quran. Now, a lot of people talk about converts, convert experience. I'm an old school head. So my convert experience is a little bit different. Maybe if you talk to converts about this, they may feel the same way. By my junior year of college, I want to say I didn't convert to Islam, but I made a business decision that this was the best system for my life moving forward, which means that I went back and forth. I asked a lot of questions, but in the end, there was no better marketing plan that could happen. I always give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the fact that my battle to not engage with Islam was merciful in that it was quick and resolute, meaning that I never had a question about Islam like I had about when I was Christian. But I understand God. I'm still Muslim, but I still love gospel music, because anything that celebrates Allah, I'm down with that. That's good. Anything that makes you better in a communal, in a spiritual sense, you know, I'm going to support you. But what I found over the years was that the inner and the outer balance were probably the most important aspects of Islam. They always talk about the black community, they always say that, you know, brothers that's in Islam is African American, they always look younger, you know. And I say that because it takes off years of doubt. It takes off years of uncertainty. It takes off years of being called anything but your name. It takes off years of anxiety, you know, achieving the highest things, going someplace, and you're still a nigga. Allah brought to me another way to look at the situation, that even though that may be a scenario that happens, it doesn't have to be a scenario that matters. And in that, it allowed me to focus on different things, you know. Instead of that being a hang-up for me not being active in my own community, Islam allowed me to do different things, working with the Nation of Islam brothers. When drug dealing got bad on my grandmother's corner, I helped them do the surveillance and put up the cameras. But it also imbued me to be able to sit down with people and ask questions, people who I had years of problems with. My own father and I had issues, but I found that Islam took that contempt out of my heart and allowed me to be, in many regards, a bigger man than I ever thought I could be. You know, whether it's being a family man, being a brother, being a cousin, being a father figure, you know, all things in Allah are just and meaningful and of value. And I say this because the whole travel of to Islam is really to travel from Islam. A lot of people will say Islam is here and you go here, you know, but really Islam is here and you go here and you come out the other side and you continue to go through. You know, there are, of course, your ebbs and flows. You know, sometimes you're not as Islamic as you want to be. As I remember doing a comedy show one time, my brother said, if you're going to do comedy, brother, and it must be based on truth. I said, all right, Doc. And I did my show, and he goes, I don't think we were ready for that kind of truth. But I'm saying this because there are a lot of people who feel ambiguity towards the religion who become Muslim. And the reason they feel that way is because sometimes, you know, their choice is almost made or celebrated like some, they came from some aberration, you know. We have to work on this thing of, I call it the shining Muslim example, the shiny new Muslim example. We go, look, everybody, they're Muslim. You know, tell me about how your life was wrecked and jacked up and messed up before you became a Muslim. Like, whoa, time. I had a good mom, I had a good dad. And sometimes we have to say, listen, if it wasn't messed up or jacked up, you know, don't put them in a situation where that's the only way they can come to Islam, you know. Ask a person, what were the business aspects of your conversion to Islam? I bet you get a very, very different answer. Because to me, I look at it as business, you know. I know Muhammad is our prophet, you know, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's the Rasulullah. Let's say he's the ultimate businessman. I mean, it's in the Quran. And I don't want people to think that I'm making this sound smooth and hip. I'm not, you know. The proof is in the pudding. If you think about it, here's a guy who was doing Islam before there was an Islam, making it a compelling argument on your spirit and your soul, not by compulsion, not beating you over the head. Now, I was the hardest head of them all. I'm not gonna lie. You know, I was a decent athlete. I was a good athlete. I was a good talker. I was funny. Of course, the girls like funny. You know, but still, in and of that, wasn't complete. And reading this Quran one time, it made me understand that there's a life process that the best of us have gone through, meaning the Prophet and all of the prophets before him. There's a process that you go through that endures hardship, because only through this hardship are you really going to be able to find out what your core values are that are meaningful, that are sustaining. And when I talk to people about Islam, you know, I get a happy feeling, but I get a fulfilled feeling, meaning that your job as a Muslim is to resurrect intellect. Now, some of that intellect may be non-Muslim. A lot of it's going to be Muslim. And I always felt like the duty of the convert is to come in and remind sometimes our old school Muslim brothers that this is the shine we're supposed to have. You know, it's that probation period sometimes, like 30 to 90 days. You know, we talk about that. But it's to re-energize. You know, it's interesting to send a convert out to a situation, have them talk about Islam, because it's new and it's vibrant, but also because it's accessible. And so I think it's very important that we as Muslims, as people who make business decisions to come to Islam, not convert, but I'm talking about real business decisions, because this is the business of your life, which is how I like to frame it. You're talking about the business of your life. You're talking about a system that's going to allow you sustainability, you know, 5, 10, 15 years down the road, to you're passing it on to your children, your brothers and sisters. The best thing about Allah Made Me Funny as a tour, when I think about it, was that it really brought a sense of calm and awareness and appreciation from my parents. You know, the mother of Allah Made Me Funny is non-Christian. I mean, is a Christian. She's not Muslim. But she was the one who ultimately, you know, I told the story, maybe check it out on another video, but I talked about bread sandwiches. But when I wanted to do Allah Made Me Funny, I only had $700 and a logo. And the logo took up most of that $700. And I remember my mother going, well, do you have the logo? Get it on a piece of paper. And I remember watching her type. Now, it's important because my mom is not in the best of health. You know, she's a cancer survivor and she has sarcoidosis, so her days can be very strenuous even when she's feeling good. But I remember watching my mom type up this press release and call every masjid in the Maryland, Virginia, D.C. area and ask them for their fax number. Not get the fax number, but call, ask them for a fax number and send them a flyer for Allah Made Me Funny, Allah Made Me Funny. And, you know, it was braggadocious, it was bold, it was this idea that Muslims needed to unite back in the day. And I remember this aspect of it was almost like a rebirth. It was almost like converting again, because I was a part of the W.D. Muhammad community here in D.C. And my problem, my issue with our communities was that the indigenous Muslims were not getting together with the immigrant Muslims, and I felt like it made us a weak ummah overall. And I had this idea that Muslims were Muslims. You know, I don't care, Ahmadiyya, Shia, Shiite. I always felt like if the police came into the place, we're all gonna get arrested as Muslims. That's the way it is. They don't worry about that at Central Booking. Are you a Shiite Muslim? Yes, well, you go in this cell. No, they all going in the same cell. And subsequently, y'all going in the same hell if you don't get it together. So I had this, I have so many funny experiences of just treating people. Brother told me Muslim, I don't ask Sunni Shiite. I didn't know. You know, that was the beauty of Allah. It kept me naive that way. I remember going to Detroit to do a comedy show shortly after I had accepted my Shahada. And the brother was so excited with me becoming Muslim. He wasn't Muslim, but he knew where I come from. And he was so excited that he took me to a mosque, and it turned out to be a Shiite mosque. And I remember walking in, and I'm just all love for the brothers, man. And before I could give a hug, I looked down on the floor, and there was like all these stones on the floor. And I'm like, stuff a lot, somebody could hurt themselves. So I remember going around the masjid and picking up all the stones, you know, and people looking at me like, what the hell is he doing? I'm picking up all the stones, you know, and putting them back in the basket. I'm like, we got construction going on here, you know, and brothers going back and putting them back down. I'm picking them up again, so we got this tug of war, and they're like, no, brother, these are prayer rocks, and we use these to pray. And I was like, you know, I hadn't heard about that, you know, in my masjid, because I wasn't Shiite. But I was like, oh, okay. Of course, I was embarrassed, and as a bailout, you know, I found the darkest person in the masjid and sat next to him. My thinking being, if they get me, they're going to get you too. But but look at the beautiful message, the beautiful execution. And it's not on a conscious level. You know, it's not on the conscious level, totally unconscious level. That was just my immediate love of Muslims and this idea of Islam as a business concept and a system for life. And I tell people this all the time, because, you know, coming to, quote unquote, the immigrant community was almost like becoming Muslim again. Having people question, you don't know this, you don't know that. I remember a brother came up to me and said, I'd like to talk to you about the way you urinate. I really don't know you that well, and I'm definitely not going to have that conversation with you. I urinate well, thank you. And and I remember the brother, Astaghfirullah, and I was like, nah, you know, and I told the brother, this dude, I mean, I think he's gay. You know, I remember saying that. I think he shouldn't be in the bathroom with other men. That's what I was thinking. And then he said, I sit down to use the restroom. I was like, nah, I know he's gay. And but it was no exchange of information. And I take that situation whereby it became incumbent. And I remember this from W.D. Muhammad, who said that the void of information and the potential for education on both sides dooms us to be an ummah that's weak, manipulated, and ultimately, if we're not careful, serious delayed in our growth and positive development. And from that time, I took on the aspect of a learner and a teacher, and come out with Allah Made Me Funny. While it's, people say it's a very funny show, they enjoy it, you know, the serious implication of Allah Made Me Funny was I approached it as a teacher, and it was a curriculum of how Muslims and non-Muslims would engage, but even more important, how Muslims would engage. And I've been blessed over time to understand that, you know, going back to playing basketball, singing peace to Allah and justice, it had been part of a long continuum that brought me around to this point. And I can't say what Allah has in store next. I just show up for work, whatever that's going to be. But I say this to new Muslims, returning Muslims. I said, if you're making a business decision about Islam, make Islam your business. Hands down. You can't do any better, and Allah won't let you do any worse. Now, I always say this, should I tell people to give me a call, or you can email me at preachermone@aol.com, as I tell all the new brothers, hang in there, because, you know, you're going to run into some things you don't understand, but don't be afraid to ask, you know, don't, I remember struggling, I always talk about this, I remember struggling with my deen, you know, just, because, you know, you got to cut things off cold turkey, yes, especially women, that was tough, you know, but I remember talking to a brother, I said, brother, I'm trying to hold on to this rope of Allah. I want to be a good Muslim. I'm trying to hang in there. I said, can you help me? And he said, I can help you. I said, alhamdulillah. because that was my new word, my new Muslim word, alhamdulillah, that week it was alhamdulillah. I had been waiting to say it all day. And he said, I'm going to help you be a better Muslim. I said, cool. I said, how? He gave me a piece of mishwak. And I didn't know what that was. He said, put that in your mouth. And I did. And he said, you look Muslim already. Look at that. And I was like, all right. And I didn't even know what mishwak was, you know. And it's a long piece. You know, I didn't know you could cut it, you know. And I'm just walking around, you know, D.C. with a whole tree coming out of the side of my mouth. Freaking out my parents. My dad's like, Mary, get out of here. The boy's eating trees. You know, he didn't eat trees when he was Jesus. You know, he's with Jesus. And, you know, I don't know if the Muslims eat trees. You know, I'd rather the boy just shoot heroin and eat trees. At least, you know, that's an indoor thing. You know, I heard a tree. What a tree ever do to you, son? And that's what my dad talks. Hey, what you be a Muslim for? You ain't Malcolm X. You ain't tall enough. You know, and we used to have that banner back and forth. But the beauty of Islam, Christianity, Judaism is service, you know, service. And I think we have to get back. New Muslims never lose scope of the ideology or concept of being a servant. You know, Allah doesn't need your service. Allah is Allah. God is God. He don't need your service. But imagine the impact of serving your community, serving your family, serving your parents. You know, it's a lost art form. We are in the closest thing to hell right now in contemporary society because people have gotten their mind frame, I don't have to serve the community. The community has to serve me. You know, think about that. I don't have to serve the community. The community has to serve me. We have representatives of the highest level of government that don't understand that God is running this thing, not them. Think about that. We have Muslim countries that are Muslim countries, been Muslim countries for years, can't do the Muslim thing. They can do the Muslim thing, they can't do the Islamic thing. They can't do what Allah tells them to do in states of disarray. You know, some of the oldest Muslim countries, some of the poorest countries. Why am I saying this? We just talked about nourishment. Part of that nourishment is information. And it's getting proper information and proper education on how you grow ideas, how you grow communities, how you, you know, have sustainable initiatives for people. And I would like, before I leave, for everybody to understand that this is not an option. This is fiduciary responsibility. This is a contract. There is mutual assent, there's consideration, there's acceptance, you know. I'll never break my contract with Allah. You know, I won't renege, and at times when I can't meet up to it, believe me, Allah lets me know. Why am I saying this? Because we have a duty. And that duty is to teach those who know or don't know. You know, we teach those who do not know things that they need to know. And I would put this video out to Christians and Jews and Hindus and everybody else. Do your job too. You know, you made a contract as well. Do your job and we'll do our job, and hopefully together we all on the same page, inshallah. Now, before I go, I just want to say those things, and for the people that are going astaghfirullah, it don't matter because I can't hear you. So for that, Muslim haters, I'm still going to be here. And even more important, Allah is going to be here longer. So do your thing, man. Make your decision. You know, make your business decision and make Islam your business. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.